Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Melcor REIT fourth quarter conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Darren Rayburn, Executive Chief Executive Officer of Melcor REIT. Please go ahead, Mr. Rayburn.
Thank you for the introduction, Mark. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our conference call and webcast for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2014. With me on the call is Jonathan Shea, the Chief Financial Officer of the Melcor REIT, who will speak in a few moments. I trust you've had an opportunity to review the material related to this call, including the management discussion and analysis and the financial statements. Just in case some of you haven't, these materials are available on the Investor Relations section of our website at melcorreit.ca and on cedar.com. Before we begin, I'd like to point out that certain statements made during the course of this call may be forward-looking. For a complete discussion of items that may cause actual results to differ, please refer to the Business Environment and Risk section of our annual Management Discussion and Analysis. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Jonathan Shea to discuss key financial results for the year ended December 31st, 2014. John?
Thanks, Darren, and good morning, and thank you for joining us on this call. We report our results in Canadian dollars and in accordance with international financial reporting standards. We supplement our financial reporting with non-standard measures, including FFO, AFFO, and NOI. We believe these measures are important in evaluating our performance, but caution listeners that they may not be comparable to similar measures presented by other companies. These non-standard measures are defined and reconciled in our MD&A. I will now walk everyone through the highlights of our results for the year ended December 31st, 2014. Rental revenue was $44.5 million, representing growth of 13% over 2013. Revenue growth was driven primarily by portfolio growth, with 9 properties and additional phases of 2 existing properties being added during 2014. This represents growth of 62% in GLA over 2014. Although the majority of our assets were added in December, properties acquired during the year contributed $5.19 million in rental income in 2014. On a same asset basis, revenues grew 2% with occupancy and rental rates remaining stable throughout the year. Direct operating expenses in 2014 increased by 12% as a result of portfolio growth and property taxes.
Operating expenses will fluctuate from year to year depending on
factors such as weather and repairs and maintenance schedules. Net rental income was $26.6 million for growth of 14% over 2013. Our same asset NOI remained steady in the quarter, despite 18% of our leases expiring in 2014. During 2014, we retained almost 83% of our expiring tenants and completed over 334,000 square feet in renewals and new leasing. Our G&A expenses were 4.8% of revenue and remained in our target range of 4.5% to 5.5% of revenue. G&A was impacted by higher asset management fees, which is based on gross book value of our assets, and professional fees for a full year of operation as a public company. Adjusted funds from operations were $15.6 million in 2014, representing growth of 12% over 2013. AFFO per unit was 76 cents for growth of 1 cent compared to 2013. AFFO per unit in 2014 was impacted by a 3-month delay in the closing of White Oaks Square, where the mortgage assumption process was longer than expected, and the timing difference between the closing of the convertible debenture in November and the closing of the property acquisition in December. We expect the new properties that were acquired to be accretive to AFFO per unit in 2015. Our debt-to-gross book value ratio was 50% at December 31, 2014, excluding the convertible debenture, and 56% including the convert. Our target range for this ratio, excluding convertible debentures, is 50% to 55%. We continue to maintain a conservative approach to our debt in our portfolio. We manage risk by laddering our maturity dates. In addition to the $34.5 million convertible debenture we issued in 2014, we obtained $48.4 million in mortgage financing at a weighted average interest rate of 3.5% and assumed mortgages totaling $93.5 million as part of acquisitions in December at a weighted average interest rate of 3.7%. Our overall weighted average interest rate is 3.98%, which is unchanged from 2013. We made distributions of 5.625 cents per trust unit in October, November, and December, and announced the same distributions for January, February, and March 2015. I will now turn the call back to Darren to discuss progress against our strategy and provide some operating highlights for the quarter.
Thanks, John. I'm very proud of our team and our results in 2014, our first full year of operation for the Melcor REIT. We continue to successfully deliver on our business plan and our growth plan, both operationally and strategically. We positioned the REIT to pounce when opportunities arose, and in 2014, we did so in our characteristic manner, quickly and efficiently. Through a combination of acquisitions from Melcor Developments and through non-related third parties, we increased our portfolio's gross leasable area by 62%, adding a total of 1.04 million square feet and further diversifying our portfolio mix. These included two acquisition bundles via the proprietary pipeline with Melcor Developments, adding new properties and an additional two phases of existing properties, totaling just over 793,000 square feet of office, retail, and industrial properties, for a total purchase price of $151.75 million. These assets complement our strategy of enhancing the quality and depth of the REIT portfolio. Comparable assets were not widely available for sale in the commercial markets in 2014, so our right of first offer on these properties provided a direct advantage in achieving our growth plan. We also completed three third-party acquisitions, totaling just under 250,000 square feet for $42.83 million. These acquisitions enhanced our portfolio mix by further diversifying our asset class versus leasable area towards our stated target proportionate split of 40% office, 40% retail, and 20% industrial. To fund these acquisitions, we completed a bought deal issuance of 2.145 million REIT units in May, including the exercise of an over-allotment option for gross proceeds of $22.84 million. In addition, in November, we completed a bought deal issuance of 5.5% convertible debenture for gross proceeds of $34.5 million. As John mentioned earlier, it is our strategy to ensure we have liquidity on our balance sheet and remain well-positioned to continue to take advantage of future acquisition opportunities. From a leasing perspective, 2014 was a critical year for tenant retention with just under 18% of our gross leasable area expiring. I'm delighted to report that strong leasing activity with both successful renewals on expiring leases and new tenant leases contributed to a year-end occupancy at 92.4%, which is above our target level. Operationally, we executed on our strategy to continually improve existing assets through exceptional property management and asset enhancement. These improvements contribute to optimized operating efficiency, including our ability to maintain rental income, increase occupancy, promote sustainability and energy reduction strategies, and enhance property attractiveness and desirability. As tenant retention is critical to our success, we continue to focus on our signature customer care program to deliver exceptional service to our customers through upgrades and redevelopment of existing assets, continuous client contact, hands-on building management, and responsiveness to our clients. Tenant retention was 82.7% in 2004 compared to 74% at the end of the fiscal year 2013. Another measure that we track as representation of our commitment to customer service is the percentage of calls that our team responds to on a reported client issue within 30 minutes. In 2014, I'm very proud to respond that we responded to just over 97% of all service calls within our targeted response timeframe. In terms of outlook, a conservative approach to business drives our growth strategy. Looking into an uncertain environment in our major markets in the West, we will maintain our tradition of exercising discipline and sticking to the fundamentals of real estate. We will continue to look for and take advantage of opportunities to build and strengthen our portfolio. We continue to experience good leasing activity with both renewals on expiring leases and enticing new tenants, which in conjunction with the newly acquired properties started our portfolio occupancy just over 92%. With an Alberta-centric portfolio, we operate in a cyclical economy where oil and gas prices can fluctuate rapidly. Our sponsor and majority unit holder, Melcor Developments Limited, and its 92 years of experience in this market, brings to the benefit of the REIT a culture and a history of how to weather and prosper during these cycles. Through each cycle in the past, Melcor Developments not only learned from others' missteps, but also made their business stronger by recognizing and taking advantage of opportunities. Clearly, it would be naive and foolish to ignore the potential negative impacts that a prolonged depression in the price of oil will have on our markets. However, as we say out west, this isn't our first rodeo. Those of us who've been in this market long enough can remember it in the 80s, in the 90s, in the early 2000s, in 2008, and the headwinds of today. At the end of the day, through all the noise, nothing speaks louder than performance. In spite of anticipated market headwinds, we expect that commercial real estate fundamentals will remain fairly steady in Western Canada throughout 2015. Based on our past experience during periods of market uncertainty, we expect stable occupancy rates in our portfolio in the short to medium term. Our limited direct exposure to oil and gas tenancies also helps mitigate any immediate risk relating to occupancy. We see continued leasing activity, albeit at a slower pace than experienced in 2014, in all of our markets, and anticipate stability and modest growth in rental rates as leases renew throughout 2015. We continue to proactively seek out renewals from expiring tenants and evaluate the quality of our tenant base to ensure long-term stability of our income stream. Our focus remains the same. We continue to provide our tenants with the signature customer care they've grown accustomed to, maximize occupancy, and control expenses while paying attention to real estate fundamentals. Today, many positive factors remain true in our business that will continue to stabilize our portfolio and shape our growth and our future. We have a well-established and diversified portfolio of stable, income-producing assets in Western Canadian markets. Our portfolio is now 74% larger than it was when we IPO'd. We've grown our portfolio with high-quality assets and high-quality tenants. We have an exceptional and experienced team managing and leasing our properties and overseeing strategic investments in our assets to maximize their potential. We take a disciplined approach to executing our growth strategy. And we remain committed to executing the strategy and delivering results. We continue to focus on the details, stress testing our portfolio and ensuring we have the right mix of properties and clients. We will continue to improve on all elements of our business, including client service and our signature care program. We will continue to streamline processes to improve our operating efficiency. We will continue to look at opportunities to create new value by densifying on our current properties. We will continue to explore opportunities to diversify our portfolio within and outside of Alberta and across multiple asset classes. We will continue with our strategic and proactive leasing programs to maintain stable occupancy levels. With a strong diversified portfolio, our unwavering focus on fundamentals, continued fostering on client relationships, a strong balance sheet, and the ability to react quickly to opportunities, and our right of first offer on the solid pipeline of over 6 million square feet of high-quality assets being developed by Melcor Developments over the next 5 to 10 years, the Melcor REIT remains well-positioned for the future. We'd now be happy to take your questions. Mark, can you please open up the phone line?
Certainly. Please press star 1 at this time for any questions. You can cancel your question at any time by pressing the pound sign. We have a question from Mike Markidis from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, and good morning, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
John, I was hoping you could just help us out. I know last year there was a significant true-up in the fourth quarter numbers that impacted NOI negatively, and when I look at your operating cost recoveries, at least in the same property portfolio, it looks like you got a lot of that back or didn't seem to suffer from the same impact. So, with that being said and observed, could you give us a sense of two things? Maybe, A, were there any one-time items in the 4Q NOI line that negatively or positively impacted the result? And two, what degree of seasonality should we be thinking about in the fourth quarter number and how that plays out relative to 3Q?
So your first question was, were there any one-time items in Q4? There weren't. I think this quarter was, last two quarters were really the new baseline, if you will, from an operating expense perspective, from, you know, any fixing of accounting classifications, if you will. So there's no one-time items. Any significant items in terms of seasonality? The fourth quarter is always going to be a little bit heavier in operating expenses because we finish off our repairs and maintenance schedules during the fourth quarter. And then the weather usually plays a big impact on how much we actually spend on recoverable operating costs, because if we get a big dump of snow, that naturally is going to go up. And this year we had a big snowfall in November. December was kind to us, but November was a really bad month with respect to weather out here.
Okay, but year over year, would you say they were fairly the same, or would you think
I think on a volume basis, 2014 was certainly bigger. We've added a lot of GLA over the last year. But besides volume, I would say they're pretty comparable.
Okay. It seemed like you guys got a pretty decent outlook, it seems, for occupancy remaining stable or maybe even a little bit a tick higher and modest rent growth going forward. What type of retention rate are you guys thinking for this year? Has that changed in terms of what you would expect to do versus historical for this year, just based on macro events, or would you expect a similar level this year?
We'd expect a similar level, Mike. One of the interesting things is if you look at our expiries in 2015, it accounts for 11.8% of our GLA, whereas I mentioned in the call, last year was a much higher percentage.
Yep.
And if you look at that 11.8% and you break it down amongst the top 10 tenants over 5,000 square feet. I can tell you to date, we've completed renewals with just under half of them. So we're seeing some good volume. That gives us the confidence to see them continue this throughout the year.
Sorry, so just so I understand you correctly, so of the breaking it down in terms of the type of tenant, what of the 12% or 11.8% that comes due this year, what would be committed so far for the aggregate pool?
You know, Mike, I'd have to get back to the aggregate pool because our analysis was just on our top 10 tenants.
Okay.
The 49% that I mentioned for everyone else on the call is not the aggregate, but we can definitely disseminate that information because we have that.
Okay. Just switching to the G&A line, I think, John, you had mentioned that you'd, if I heard you correctly, 4.5 to 5 or 5.5% was your target on the G&A line going forward?
Yeah, I think it's 5%. I think my script was, I missed it on my script. It's, our target's about 5% of revenue.
Okay. Okay, so that might imply then, at least if you look sequentially, realizing that you closed some properties late in the quarter, that the increase that you saw in the professional fees, the costs that aren't related to the asset management fee, would actually, the run rate would continue at a similar level in 4Q. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, but I would love if you called our auditors and told them that would be the case too.
Okay.
Yeah, and joking aside, yes, we expect our professional fees to be pretty stable and not grow at the same rate as our revenue.
Okay. Last topic for me, just maybe give us a sense of two things just with respect to debt. First, where are you seeing rates in the mortgage market today? And then secondly, if you just remind us on how the interest rate subsidy from the IPO works, and when you look at your 2015 maturities, if you would expect to realize that benefit through your AFFO line if you do roll down the mortgages.
Okay. So your first question on the market, we're seeing pretty strong lending activity still. It's from our perspective, it's been a really good opportunity and market for us. We fortunately sit below kind of where the bigger REITs and the bigger borrowers are using the unsecured market. So the traditional mortgage kind of lenders are looking at us as an opportunity for them to deploy some of their capital. So from that perspective, with our higher quality of assets, we've actually had very good pricing on what we've been able to get from interest rates. We closed a mortgage renewal just recently. We were at like 2.7% for 4 years, and that was a bit of a goofy deal with just shoring up our maturities. But we're getting 10-year deals now, anywhere spread from 155 to 170, which, you know, on the properties we closed in December represented interest rates of about 3.6% on a 10-year deal. What we're finding, though, is that lenders are starting to put floor rates in, and we haven't done any long-term deals in the current year. We've done one mortgage that was about 3.6% for 10 years. So from that perspective, we still see that as a bit of an advantage coming up. We do have some loans that are coming up this year. We're working on one for our retail center in Chestermere, and then we also have some larger Class C mortgages that are renewing. And if you recall, Class C's were the mortgages that Melcor Developments retained and that are now maturing. And so as we renew those later this year, we're going to try to advance that as much as we can, since bond rates are pretty low right now and the spreads are still pretty acceptable. So as far as we can advance that, we will. Which kind of leads into your next question about the interest rate subsidy. On IPO, the interest rate subsidy was supposed to buy down all the existing interest rates to 3%. 4%, I follow this, 4%. And so that process will continue on. I think we will certainly, on these renewals that we have upcoming, will have a positive impact on AFFO because we anticipate to be able to renew those mortgages at a much lower rate compared to what they're sitting at now, even with the subsidy in place.
Okay, so the simple way to look at it is, let's say you're getting 3.25 on a mortgage, net-net, your subsidy's at about 4, so you're getting 75 basis points flow through. Okay.
Correct.
Nope, that's a helpful reminder for me. Thank you very much.
Hey, Mike, back to you. This is Darren. We did get the answer to your question. So for the benefit of everyone on the call, Michael's question was, of the 322,000 square feet expiring in 2015, what has Melcor committed to already? What have the tenants committed to the Melcor REIT? And I can tell you that number is 135,000 square feet of the 322, which if my math is right, is just over 40%.
And is that new leases and renewals or just renewals?
That is just renewals. That doesn't count any new leasing. And that's renewals that have been committed to as of February 28th.
Okay. So it sounds like you got a little more than a third done. That's great. Okay. That's it
for
me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 for any questions. Our next question is from Nelson Ma from Laurentian Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, I just relate to Mike's question on that renewal. So what kind of rates would you see? Were they kind of in line or were there a bit of a lift going on?
We're seeing stable rates, Nelson. We're not seeing decreases. We're seeing stability across our markets.
Okay. And another thing was just about So I guess it comes down to really, you know, the new supply coming online in 2017 and 2018. So the idea for you guys is to advance your leasing activity because you have, what, about 10 to 12% due in those years? Like, what's your plan for that?
Yes. So to answer your question, yeah, we have 6.3% due in 2016 and, you know, 10% in 2017, 11% in 2018, which I'm actually delighted with that we're spread out to that degree. And that's not by accident. So to answer your questions, one of the things that typically happens in this market and has happened in the past is when we see some new supply coming on, you know your tenants, you speak to them in advance, you try and renew when you can in advance. The challenge in this market is, as opposed to markets like Toronto or Calgary or Vancouver, many of the tenants are not looking out 18 months to 2 years in advance. So we will use our efforts to try and secure long-term leases when we can prior to that time and just move forward throughout the market.
Okay. So this relates to that. So, like, when I guess EBCOR was the last new office supply that came online, right? That was like...
Yeah.
So when that came on, like, what happened to the market?
Nelson, absolutely nothing because the building's not built yet. So the market said, that's great, there's 440,000 square feet. You're talking about Enbridge, correct, or EPCOR?
No, the old EPCOR building.
Oh, so my apologies. I thought you mentioned Enbridge, which is the top of our mind because it's a great deal for downtown Edmonton. In the EPCOR analysis, what happened to the market? There wasn't a big dip because, as you'll see, there's still the vacant space in the EPCOR tower that they have not leased. So they have 170,000 square feet of vacant space that's been vacant since they built the tower. Also, the EPCOR lease was at a very high rate due to construction costs. So we didn't see a dip in the market because we didn't see the flight to quality to lease that space at the level that they were asking.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from Dean Wilkinson from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, guys.
Hey, Dean.
John, just on the reclassification of the operating expenses to the G&A, what was the dollar figure associated with that?
Oh, I can't recall off the top of my head, Dean. Let me get back to you on that.
Okay.
Let me get that because I don't want to spend a lot of time flipping through papers. So let me just follow up on that afterwards.
Sounds good. And a sort of a secondary question to that would be just trying to drill down to the impact on the NOI margins, just sort of shuffling it around so I make sure that I've got the numbers correct there.
So what we did was in the past our leases were able to recover a certain amount per square foot in terms of recovery for G&A. What we used to do was we used to net that amount against our G&A costs as opposed to recording it as recovery revenue. And so when you talk about NOI, if you take it kind of above G&A, would have certainly improved our NOI by having kind of classifying it the way the industry has. But certainly in the bottom line, it's made no difference.
Makes no difference, yeah. It's just what bucket you put it into. That's
correct.
So let me
get that number for you, and I'll follow up with you after the call.
Sounds good. And then just on the increase in TIs through the year, I mean, that's obviously associated with the uptick in the leasing activity. So given that you're just shy of 12% rolling into 2015, should we expect, again, somewhere in the area of, you know, $2 to $3 million in TIs to come out of that activity as well?
Correct.
Okay. And is that coming out of that restricted cash from the IPO, or is that... coming out of just operations?
It depends. It'll be a measure of both, and unfortunately, we can't tell you what it is because it really depends on which leases are renewing, because or which leases are signed, because a lot of that TI was assigned to specific spaces in our portfolio that were historically vacant.
Okay.
So that being said, I know Darren's leased out some space in a historically vacant building in Trail Business Center, right? And so some of that will go towards putting office space in for that new tenant.
Into that new tenant, okay.
Yeah. But it'll depend. There's no hard number that we'll target. It just depends on what leasing we get done.
All right, so it'll just be in that $2 million range. So the amortization of those TIs probably running somewhere in the area of $750,000 a quarter?
Yeah, it'd be pretty consistent with what our rent is.
Okay. And then just on the borrowing base on the revolver, is that at the full $25
million? No, it's about $20 million at the end of 2014.
$20 million year end.
Yeah.
Perfect. I think that's everything else has been answered. Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Smith from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, can you give us some color on net effective rents for each of the segments you operate in?
And Michael, just to be clear, you're asking about in asset class or market?
Asset class.
So the trending that we're seeing in asset class, which is typical in Edmonton, is you do see net effective rents start to suppress when increased vacancy comes back to the market. Now, we've not seen the increased vacancy effect in Edmonton yet. We'd expect the net effective rents to drop because of the additional components from the TI required from the landlord. That's on office, Michael. From a retail and an industrial perspective, we are not seeing any drop in net effective rent. You know, for instance, from a retail perspective, if you look at where our vacancy is, I mean, in Alberta, you know, we still, you know, have the highest sales per capita person in retail, so it's, you know, 34% above the national average. So at a under 2% vacancy, as a landlord, I'm proud to say we're not required to give larger TIs for our retail tenants because there's still activity. In industrial, where we would see the net effective rents drop would be in older products. So product that landlords would be trying to entice tenants to. Now again, with the amount of new product that has been built in Western Canada last little while, if you're in the fortunate situation, as we are, to own some of that new product, if you have any vacant space, again, we don't see any requirement to put in larger TIs for the industrial tenants. Did that answer your question, Michael?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from Jenny Ma from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
Just want to turn the focus over to acquisitions, particularly on the third-party vendor side. Given what's happened in Alberta over the past few months, what are you seeing as far as the inventory of acquisition opportunities available, cap rates, and where you guys are looking as far as asset class? I assume the focus continues to be on retail and industrial to kind of rebalance the portfolio?
Sure, I'll answer a couple of those questions. I'll answer your last question first. We chase the deals, Jenny. So retail and industrial is what we would like to grow. However, you know, if there's office opportunities for the right deal that makes sense, we'd pursue that as well. Now,
okay.
Your question about what's happening in the market, there's a healthy tension between vendors and purchasers right now. What we're not seeing is the vendors coming off their asking rates. The purchasers, including us, are circling around thinking there's an opportunity to get a deal. And we're just not seeing that yet. Now, time will tell, depending on what happens in the market over the next, you know, 2 to 3 quarters. But, you know, cap rates, I've seen, you know, speaking on the Altus released a report where in certain buildings they've increased cap rates by 0.25%. But, again, we've not seen that across the board. Where we expect cap rates to go up are on those B and C class buildings of those landlords that have not improved their assets over the last 5 to 10 years. Who will find it much harder to attract tenants going forward in this market.
Okay, that's helpful. Any sense of what your acquisition target will be for the year?
Truthfully, Jenny, I just don't know. And I know my trustees are listening to this call, so I assure them that we're absolutely pursuing and finding it too. From Melcor Development's pipeline perspective, there is just over 200,000 square feet that could be ready for our right of first offer to about $80 million. The advantage is we have liquidity. And you know, having liquidity gives us an opportunity to react, something we've done in the past and something we'll do this year as well.
Okay. My next question is on the leases that were completed throughout 2014. I'm not sure if you've already answered this question, but what was the lift or the change versus expiring rents that you got for 2014 in general?
In general, I'd say they were stable to modest increases.
Okay. Great. That's all for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I'd like to return the meeting back to Mr. Rayburn.
Well, thank you, everyone. Once again, we appreciate you calling in and taking the time with us this morning. We look forward to talking to you at our first quarter 2015 conference call in the future. Good day.
Thank you. The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank all who participated.